lost to ignorance and confusion, three men arose from humble beginnings with a message of wisdom and hope for their troubled times. Three men who would eventually change the very face of humanity. But they fell off a cliff. So, here are some other guys.
It's Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Bill,
and Janice.
And good evening and welcome to Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil for this Tuesday, December 15th, 2015, streaming to you live on CJRU, the Scope at Ryerson in Toronto, Canada. Of course, Song Talk Radio is a show with songwriters talking to other songwriters all about the craft of songwriting. They can be fresh newbies or established professional songwriters. And together we will share tips, we'll share techniques, and we'll share cool things found. And together we all become a little bit better at writing songs. Tonight, it's going to be kind of a special show because this is actually our last show of the year.
Last live show of the year.
My name is Phil Emery. I'm going to be the host tonight. And of course, we actually have no guest tonight. It's just the family tonight because it's a special holiday thing, you know. So, of course, we have the one and only Neil Modi.
Good evening.
We have the lovely and talented Janice O.
Dramatic pause.
Hello.
Of course, we have the equally lovely and talented Bruce Arrett.
Merry Christmas, Phil.
And of course, teching is Etan. Thank you.
Yay.
Yay, Etan. Yay. Don't forget, we always love to hear from you.
Yes, the Irish bird.
Don't forget, we always love hearing from you, so please send your thoughts, complaints, and concerns to feedback@songtalk.ca. That's feedback@songtalk.ca. You can find us on Twitter at Songtalk Radio or by using the hashtag Songtalk. And during the show, you can send us your comments and questions, and we'll share them in real time. You can find us on Facebook and at YouTube at Songtalk Radio. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast feed via the iTunes podcast directory and at Stitcher.com. Don't forget to please leave a review there because it helps other people find the show. And you can always stop by the website at songtalk.ca and find out how you can be a guest on our show. And of course, this is going to be our final show of live show of 2015.
Yep.
Because we got Best of Song Talk. Next couple
the weeks. Holidays are coming up.
That's right.
Yeah, the station actually takes a little break. So
So are we.
Yeah, so are we. We're going to do that too.
Yeah,
so well deserved break.
I think so.
Yes, yes, indeed.
We work hard for you.
Well, some of us do.
Yes. Yeah, Phil actually does all the work, and
not naming any names.
We watch.
Janice, it's just me and Todd are doing everything. We literally now just stand here and just kind of hang out.
Yeah,
this is our job now.
That's great.
This is great.
This is awesome.
We like it.
So, actually, on that point, what do you guys think of the last year?
Oh, well, it was a good year for talent.
Absolutely.
One of the things I was just talking to someone I met from the French Canadian community, and we're hoping to get some French Canadian composers on here, songwriters. Mm-hmm. We'll translate the lyrics for the website and for us, of course. Anyway, he was asking what about the show, and I said, you know, the thing I love is discovering talent.
Oh yeah.
When all is said and done, it's finding the songwriting talent. And we sometimes find also singing talent because often people are performing their own songs. We're not really looking for that with our show. We're looking for the song. And so many beautiful songs. I'm thinking of Sonia's work and some of the other people that have come around this year and just written beautiful, original, refreshing songs that aren't about, I love you, baby, I lost you, baby, goodbye.
Yeah.
I don't know, we're attracting people who are serious songwriters writing about something, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
What about you, Janice?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm actually going to be writing an article for perhaps our next newsletter.
Oh, boy.
So watch out for that. But that will really give my reflections on this past year because I've pretty much been volunteering since, I don't know, maybe February.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just been an incredible experience to just be immersed in this hour of songwriting every week. But it's kind of extended beyond that, just making so many new connections and songwriting friends and going out to gigs and doing open mics. And I don't think any of that would have been possible if it wasn't for being immersed in this very, very cool environment. So I just want to thank you guys so much for that piece.
Oh, you're welcome.
Awesome.
Yeah. It was a big article on Free Times today in one of the Subway papers. Was
yeah,
it Matt
Shore? Yeah, it's like Free Times' 35th anniversary.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
So happy anniversary.
So some of our guests go down there to perform, and we've followed them. So we've got a little performing community now, performing original songs.
Yeah, that's great.
Open mics and showcases.
How about you there, Neil? What do you
The last year's been, it's been great. I mean, this past year is when we got Janice on board.
Yeah.
Right, back in the spring.
Changed everything.
Right? We changed everything in terms of our social media and getting the word
bring
out.
Bring it on, boys.
It was great, right?
Well, you know, and it's interesting because I remember when Janice started off, and I was always doing Twitter, you know, you guys were never real big onto the social media stuff, and I was always pushing for it, and I'd sort of do what I could, but it's really hard to do.
It's hard to do both
and
at the same time.
I remember that when I went home and looked at the tweets that Janice did, I was just almost in tears.
I was like,
it was exactly what I ever had in my brain. It's like, this is fantastic.
And made Phil's dream come true.
Yes.
But the other thing about this past year is the talent's really been, like, I think compared to the first year of Song Talk, we've had much more professional songwriters or songwriters at least trying to pursue it as a career.
We even had
that teenager on, you know, for the first time.
Jules, yes.
Back in July or whatever it was.
His star is quickly rising, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so that was amazing.
That was pretty extraordinary.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, looking forward to next year, I think it'd be kind of cool to have somebody. Maybe we can do this deliberately, where someone's come onto the show with songs that are completely unfinished, like they're just starting out.
Yeah, that would be kind
of something,
fun.
Which would be kind of interesting to mix it up a little bit.
Yeah. I might do that because I have many songs actually.
So.
I have one tonight actually.
Well, that's unfinished.
Yes.
Phil? What's the year been like for you?
Well, this is great because, you know, it's really geared up. I think, you know, we've got a lot more listenership. We're getting a lot more social media feedback.
The podcast going.
You know, with Janice coming on and now, you know, it's on the board. It kind of really brings the whole show up to the next level. Mm-hmm. And that's really exciting. And, I find sometimes actually the talent almost a bit overwhelming because some of the people are so good, and I get my problem is I get really inspired after every show, and then, you know, I sort of start working on trying to do stuff that they did using their process, and then it's Tuesday again, and then I'm sort of inspired in a completely different way. So I think someday I might have to take like a year off and let it all kind of percolate through. Because there's so many things. Like I still remember Dan Trapper's way of handling.
Oh, I think that was so cool.
it's such a different way. I'm just I want to try that. But and Janice's, you know, song interpretation exercise.
You know what? When you say that, Phil, it makes me think about like we should develop a Song Talk Radio like songwriting guidebook of just a collection of all the tips.
Well,
we've
kind of started. We've got a resources page on our website.
Go have a look at that.
Song Talk.
The other thing about the talent, like I've actually become a fan of some of the artists that we've showcased.
Oh,
like I'm going to Braden Mitchell shows. I'm going, you know, I'm a fan of Jeff Greenway. Like all these guys are coming.
No marriages yet or anything. Is there any dating? I don't think there's been any dating yet.
No. Well, I think we need to get the more into like every maybe 6 months, get everyone like who's been on the show together to sort of, you know, kind of get them sort of more
socializing.
It'd
be nice to have a Song Talk marriage, I think.
That would
song
be cool.
Marriage, group marriage.
That's usually in the fourth.
That started here.
That's usually in the fourth season, you know, when the ratings go down a bit, they sort of do that.
Oh, we'll have a wedding.
It takes a little bit of time, Bruce.
Yes.
Okay. No rush.
Tonight, on a very special Song Talk wedding.
The wedding of two songwriters. Join together in melody.
So, what do we got in store for tonight?
Well, it's going to be fairly free form. Christmas songs. I found something really interesting. Mm-hmm. You know the guy who wrote Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
No. Who was it?
It's a guy named Johnny Marks.
I thought it was Santa Claus.
Who was actually a Jewish songwriter. He was born in 1909 and passed away in 1985.
Oh.
He wrote Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And just a whole bunch of ones.
Is he American?
I Heard the Bells. Now, he actually wrote I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day, which I thought was a traditional song. You know that one? I heard the bells on Christmas Day.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I thought that was a traditional song. It sounds like a traditional song. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't sound like it was written by the same guy who did Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
So when was Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer written then? Couldn't have been...
1949.
Okay.
Oh. He's very diverse.
So yeah. He was in America at the time. Was he an
American immigrant?
Yeah, he was American.
He was American. Yeah.
But he also did Run, Rudolph, Run, Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree, A Holly Jolly Christmas, Silver and Gold.
He's a specialist.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. The Island of Misfit Toys. He was incredible. Yeah, she was... I think he was the director of ASCAP for a while. And, 1981, he was inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame, you know. So I was amazed. He was this Jewish guy, and he wrote all these just tons and tons of Christmas songs.
Oh, goodness. Well, speaking of Christmas songs, I put out there on Twitter, what is your favorite Christmas song? Oh, and Tony Burns says...
Hi, Tony.
The Christmas song, Chestnuts Roasting on
Fire.
And he loves the challenge of the chord progression.
It's a beautiful one.
That's a beautiful song.
Well, I recently saw a post on Facebook about the Charlie Brown Christmas. It's the 50th anniversary this year.
Oh, right.
It came out in 1965. And I haven't seen that since I was a little kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I ran out and bought the DVD.
Isn't it amazing?
Vince Guaraldi.
Yeah.
Incredible score.
Oh, it's
incredible.
Amazing.
And it's kind of interesting how it's not, you know, it's jazz music.
Well,
right?
but it's
so associated with that Christmas program.
There was a lot of pushback by the network when they first put the cartoon, you know, for approval because the jazz music, it's kind of dark. It's not sort of light.
Yeah.
And, you know, the voices of the children were voiced by children.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's got this real kind of darkness, which I love because I think, you know, being a kid, it's fun, but it's also kind of a scary place. And
Charlie Brown comes out the first thing and says he's depressed because it's Christmas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is, you know, in the
60s. Well, it was real.
Charles
Schulz wrote real stuff. Like, it was, he got it real.
Yeah.
All the betrayals, the childhood betrayals, Lucy and Charlie and all that. And Snoopy, the wisdom of Snoopy.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Well, and speaking about, you know, being depressed at Christmas, one of the songs I love is Have Yourself a Merry Christmas, which, of course, was written, which is a singing in St. Louis, I think, which Judy Garland sings to her daughter in the movie while I think her father is away during the war.
Oh.
And there was a line in there which I've always thought was so beautiful, which is, you know, here we are in happy olden days, happy golden days of yours. Friends of ours will be near to us. What's the next one? Someday soon we'll all be together if the fates allow. Until then, we'll have to muddle through somehow, which I just love because for so many people during this time of year, they are muddling through. And it is a really tough time for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I love that. And then they've replaced that since with Hang a Shining Star
above the highest bow,
which means nothing.
Oh, I didn't know that.
What a terrible thing to do.
Yeah. Disney-fied it.
Yeah, because
it's
like, and it's just, you take something that has so much beautiful, natural emotion, they just totally...
It is. Anniversaries are hard for people. Any big holiday like Thanksgiving or Christmas, if you've lost a loved one or you're divorced or whatever.
And it's your first Christmas without...
I remember when my parents divorced and my mother just couldn't handle cooking Christmas the first year. So we went out to this fancy restaurant. And, of course, they served us this gourmet food, we call it. And no one liked it. It was like this awful pate, like this awful turkey with this stuffing that was made of liver and stuff. And it was actually at the Sutton Place Hotel in their dining restaurant.
That's big bucks.
This is way back. But, each meal was like $8. Each.
Which is a lot of
ten times more than we would spend at home.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, no, it can be very painful and also can be a place where families come together.
Yeah.
Depending on your religion and what you celebrate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we have to be aware that people celebrate all kinds of things, Kwanzaa, and they celebrate Hanukkah, and they celebrate Chanukah, if you don't know how to say it properly. and of course, Christmas. So, should I tell you about my memory of Christmas?
Yeah.
So, we, the three of us, Phil, Neil, and I, decided to find a song that meant something to us about Christmas. And rather than choose a song that, you know, I think is a well-written Christmas song, I decided to go for a memory. I had two older brothers and a younger sister, and one of the advantages of having two older brothers, if you're really into music, is they're buying all the records ahead of you, right? Yeah. And so they're bringing all this, like they're bringing Cream and the Rolling Stones and Beach Boys and all that. This was a while ago, okay, early 60s. They're bringing all this music in. And so my brothers each fought each other, and they both fought me, and nobody got along really except for one thing we all agreed on, that the Beatles were just amazing. Uh-huh. And it was up in my brother's room. He had a little one of those portable stairs where you lift the lid and the 45 goes click down. Yep.
And 45, yeah.
And the first time I heard a Beatles record, I don't know if it was an album or a single, but then what we did, so the Christmas story is for 62, 3, 4, 5, we'd buy each other a single. From that came out in November or December.
Okay.
And so we'd all get to hear all of them, and we'd have three singles of the Beatles in the
house. So the Beatles weren't writing Christmas albums the way we have artists today.
They did, but they were only released to their fans. I read that article you sent me. They did a Christmas album every year, and it was released to their fan club only. It was produced by one particular guy who wrote and produced it, and it was the Beatles' Christmas album for each year, but it was went to their fan club. But I'm not sure that they actually released an actual Christmas album. Right. So the song I chose, it was just out of that area, was out of that time. Mm. And I don't know how to explain we've all had a time where we first hear the Beatles, but I was hearing them when they were first being heard. England and Ireland had heard them already, but they were invading North America. And I don't know, the sound was so fresh and so different. It was summer near the Beach Boys, what they were trying to do with the harmonies, but with this edge to it, and George Martin and whatever they were doing, it was just rich. So I chose I Feel Fine.
Oh, cool.
So let's have a listen to that.
Baby's good to me, you know she's happy as can be, you know she said so. I'm in love with her and I feel fine. Baby says she's mine, you know she tells me all the time, you know she said so. I'm in love with her and I feel fine. I'm so glad that she's my little girl. She's so glad she's telling the world that her baby buys her things, you know. He buys her diamond rings, you know she said so. She's in love with me and I feel fine. Baby says she's mine, you know she tells me all the time, you know she said so. I'm in love with her and I feel fine. I'm so glad that she's my little girl. She's so glad she's telling all the world that her baby buys her things, you know. He buys her diamond rings, you know. She said so. She's in love with me and I feel fine. She's in love with me and I feel fine.
Fine by the Beatles, young band that I think will go far.
Yeah.
Well, in 1962 or 3 or 4, every Christmas we'd be playing the Beatles. And then it got into a battle between the Stones and the Beatles and who was best in our house.
When you hear that song now, do you associate that with the holiday time?
Yeah.
You do?
Mm. Yeah. I mean, it takes me back to that time because I think I don't remember much of listening to music the other times. It was the gift giving and all this exchange of all that. And it was Yeah, it was a pretty exciting time. And as I say, having two older brothers who were really into music, mm-hmm. like we had in our rec room in suburban Toronto, we had live bands. I mean, we had bands. Mm. You know, the friends at high school would have a band. So okay, they'd say, yeah. Well, come bring all their gear. Right. And I was like, all right, yeah. You know, what's happening? And everybody was wanting to play the Stones or the Beatles right at that time in the early 60s, mid 60s. So yeah, there was a lot of music around the house and everybody was really into music. Mm-hmm. And it was great.
That sounds lovely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not a Christmas song for you listeners out there.
No. Very festive.
Technically not.
But it's festive. And we were commenting while we were listening there just about the structure is very cool and some solid drumming from Ringo.
Yeah.
And almost like a bossa nova beat happening on a pop song, which is a lot of inventiveness in their writing. And John wailing out there with lots of reverb on his voice.
Well, the great thing about this song, and it's not the only time the Beatles have done this, is that like these days you kind of think, oh, my chorus has to be catchy, right? Yeah. But they have an A part and a B part, and it's not really clear which one's the chorus. We were just arguing about that as it was playing. Which one's, I mean, the verse has the title in it, but they're both super catchy, so who cares?
Yeah,
it's just great.
it all works.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to learn songwriting, the best thing to do is take the first three Beatles albums and just, like, pick apart every song, and you'll learn so much, because that really is the template that so much has been built on top of, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. But, and I just want to give one more shout-out to Tony Burns, who says, for an emotional Christmas song, try First Christmas Away from Home by Canadian songwriter Stan Rogers. Have you guys heard
that? Stan Rogers, yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. We'll have to listen to that. Stan Rogers is great.
Well, I tweeted something earlier today. One of our former guests, Carmen Toth, she released a little Christmas song today.
Oh, cool.
It's sort of a anti-consumerism kind of thing about her message basically being that I'm going to give love for Christmas.
Yeah.
Right? It's a cute little thing,
nice.
So definitely check it out.
There was some song, and I think it was Maren Cadell, and she did a song, and it was like this about a cat and a mouse or something.
Oh, really?
And I remember thinking it was really beautiful, and I've never been able to find it since. So if anyone out there on Radio Land knows it, something about like a cat's like, you know, they're both outside and freezing, and it's something like that.
The Christmas mouse.
Yeah.
No, I'm just guessing.
Well, since Bruce, you were relating about childhood stories, I've got one that so way back when, probably before I was 12 years old, the company that my dad worked for, they held a Christmas party every year for the families,
right.
And we'd go. I think it was either a church or a community center. We'd go there. There'd be a Santa Claus on stage, and you would call the kids' names up one by one.
Right.
And I remember it might have been the very last time I was there. They only did it up until like age 12 or something like that. So I was 12 years old. It was like 1984 or 5, something like that. And the last gift I got from the company Santa Claus was a clock radio.
Oh, cool.
And I kept this clock radio for like 15, 16 years, like up into my adulthood. But when I think back on that, I'm like, that's really what allowed me to like sit in my room, listen to the radio, start absorbing music and start absorbing songs on my own terms, right? Because I could dial in whatever station I wanted. It wouldn't have to be in the living room what my parents were listening to or whatever.
Oh, right.
So, I mean, that kind of, to me, was like, it was like a prized possession at the time when I was a kid, right?
Did you ever listen late at night and get all the wild things from like Iowa and New Jersey? Because at night, the radio airwaves are all different.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, no,
you could
I don't think so. But
distant. Did you remember that?
Yeah,
distant stations would come in all of a sudden.
Yeah, it'd be really cool.
I don't know if that works that way anymore, but.
Yeah,
that was back in the day when we had radio. Oh, we still do.
Good old radio.
Did you bring the song in?
Yeah, so I brought in a sample or like an example of a song that I like, and this is from. This is from a movie, I think it's from the 90s, a stop-motion animation movie called Nightmare Before Christmas.
By Tim Burton.
By Tim Burton, who also did the 89 Batman's version of Batman and all that stuff. He's got a very sort of macabre element to, like, kind of gothic and dark and whatever. So the story of this movie was that there are these sort of fantasy lands where all the holidays are invented, right? And so the main character is named Jack Skellington. He's like a big skeleton that sort of hosts Halloween, and mm-hmm. he brings Halloween to the rest of the world, mm-hmm. right? And but he's kind of sick and tired of Halloween, and it's kind of the same thing year over and year over.
Yeah.
And so he goes wandering into the woods, and he stumbles upon Christmastown, where Santa Claus and the elves are preparing for Christmas.
Right.
Ooh. And the song I've selected is "What's This?" It's when he first stumbles upon Christmasland. He's never experienced Christmas before, so he's kind of just experiencing it and going, oh, what's all this stuff
that
I'm seeing? It's a great little flick. So this is What's This? Words and Music by Danny Elfman, who's the composer for the film, who was also in a band called Oingo Boingo, back in the day.
Boom. All right, let's hear it.
All right.
What's this? What's this? There's color everywhere. What's this? There's white things in the air. What's this? I can't believe my eyes. I must be dreaming. Wake up, Jack. This isn't fair. What's this? What's this? What's this? There's something very wrong. What's this? There's people singing songs. What's this? The streets are lined with little creatures laughing. Everybody seems so happy. Have I possibly gone daffy? What is this? What's this? There's children throwing snowballs instead of throwing heads. They're busy building toys, and absolutely no one's dead. There's frost in every window. Oh, I can't believe my eyes. And in my bones, I feel the warmth that's coming from inside. Oh, look, what's this? The hanging mistletoe. They kiss? Why, that looks so unique. Inspired! The gathering around to hear his story, roasting chestnuts on a fire. What's this? What's this? In here, they've got a little tree. How queer! And who would ever think? And why? They're covering it with tiny little things. They've got electric lights on strings, and there's a smile on everyone. So now correct me if I'm wrong. This looks like fun, this looks like fun. Oh, could it be? I got my wish. What's this? Oh my, what now? The children are asleep. But look, there's nothing underneath. No ghouls, no witches here to scream and scare them or ensnare them. Only little cozy things secure inside their dreamland. What's this? The monsters are all missing and the nightmares can't be found. And in their place there seems to be good feeling all around. Instead of screams, I swear I can hear music in the air. The smell of cakes and pies are absolutely everywhere. The sights, the sounds, they're everywhere and all around. I've never felt so good before. This empty place inside of me is filling up. I simply cannot get enough. I want it, oh I want it, oh I want it for my own. I've got to know what is this place that I have found. What is this?
Christmas Town?
There we go.
That was What's This from The Nightmare Before Christmas. Words and music by Danny Elfman of Oingo Boingo. Yeah, that's a neat song.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a verse and then sort of a chorus part, you know?
Yeah, there's sort of an A part and a B part. But the title's at the top of every refrain.
Yeah, you're not going to forget the title of this one.
No. No, certainly not.
Yeah,
but it's kind of a weird thing is I never know, you know, if I talk about this song, or talk about this movie, is it like a Halloween movie? Is it a Christmas movie? Is it both? Is it neither?
Yeah. It's
show it in mid-November. Like, I don't know.
That's true.
I can imagine how entertaining it must be to actually watch this while you're listening to the music.
It's an incredible film, too. Yeah.
But even though I don't know if I actually have watched it maybe a long time ago, but just hearing the song and the words and his voice and everything, like, you can just kind of picture everything happening right in front of you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, when it said the smell of cakes and pies, I was like, yeah.
Well, and it's what's interesting is there's a couple of points where he has a lot of words in here.
Yeah, and it's like a three-note song.
And there's a couple of times when he had to, you know, he was struggling to get all those words in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised because I don't think a lot of times when you're doing that in a recording studio, you'll do the one line and then you'll do another pass and you'll do the other line. So it actually sounds all. And this one, he didn't do it. And it kind of gives it more of a, kind of a theater feel, because if someone's doing a live theater, that's how
and truly the movie is a musical movie. Like, there's lots of songs, and it's, and it is very sort of Stephen Sondheim.
I'm surprised
no one's
done it as a live stage play. Now that you mention it,
I mean, it's got to be out there somewhere.
I would think so.
I'm almost positive it's out there somewhere.
Mm.
Yeah,
maybe not in Toronto. But
I love what you know. I agree with Janice there in terms of the very visual writing. I mean, he's just describing everything, the laughing and the building toys and the kids. And there's the fun, the whole thing of, like, something's missing here. It's not scary enough.
It's not evil enough.
Like,
what are these people? Snowballs instead of throwing heads.
Yeah. What are these people thinking, being happy? What? It's a lovely, lovely song. Good choice.
No, it's interesting because, you know, I grew up in with Christmas in a certain way, and you and your background is not Christian. Is it Hindi?
Hindu.
So how did you guys look at Christmas? Was it just, I mean, did you have the tree and stuff?
We had the tree when we were little. Like, my parents would go and get a little plastic tree, like, got a real tree, right?
Yeah.
And we'd do little gifts and stuff. Even these days, like, we celebrate Christmas with my nephews and stuff.
Right.
So it's like, you know, but it's never a big turkey dinner necessarily. It's just sort of family getting together, exchange a few gifts.
Because Diwali is a big one, right?
Yeah, Diwali is the New Year sort of festival.
And Diwali is just a bit before Christmas.
Usually October, November, depending, because the calendar is different.
So I guess, like, because with us, Christmas, like, there's a big buildup to it, you know, and that was
Well, even if if you're Christian and you're non-practicing, you still kind of hook into that a bit with the Christmas carols. And a lot of people will go to church once a year, and they'll go on Christmas Christmas
and
Eve.
And a lot of the Christmas stuff is not overtly religious.
Yeah.
Most of it, in fact.
Well, it's cultural.
Because Christmas technically isn't really a Christian holiday.
Yeah. You know. It's actually, I'm not going to get into that, but that's not that kind of show.
But it's not, you know. But I think Janice has something cool to say.
Do I? Oh, yes, of course. Well, we would love to hear from you, as always. So please send us your impressions via Twitter at Songtalk Radio or with the hashtag Songtalk, via email at feedback@songtalk.ca, Facebook and YouTube at Songtalk Radio, or stop by the site at songtalk.ca. Also, don't forget to subscribe to the Songtalk Radio podcast on iTunes and Stitcher and to our newsletter at songtalk.ca. And do you guys want to know who's coming up on Song Talk Radio?
The new year.
Yes. Well, before the new year, we actually have our Best of Song Talk Radio shows Tuesday, December 22nd and 29th. So tune in for that. And then in the new year, Tuesday, January 5th, we have an amazingly talented young girl named Callie Deacon joining us.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, 13 years old. We saw her at Free Times Cafe performing in Holy Cow.
Very, very happy to have her. And don't forget, if you're in the Toronto area, please join us at our next Songwriters Roundtable meetup, which is tomorrow, Wednesday, December 16th at 7 p.m. at the Transact Club. It's free to join on meetup and free to attend the roundtable. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we will be there. Stop by songtalk.ca/meetup for all of the details.
Cool.
Incredible group.
Thank you.
And that's how I met these guys.
That's how we met each other.
Yeah,
really. That's right. Yeah.
So Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas was actually, the film was Meet Me in St. Louis. And it was a big hit with soldiers fighting overseas during World War II because it was released in 1944.
Oh,
okay.
It's... I have the list of all these interesting Christmas songs, like Santa Baby by Eartha Kitt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh,
remember that one?
That's
really weird. And Father Christmas, which is by the Kinks, which is sort of neat.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool.
Yeah.
We'll have to have another show maybe at Easter.
I think so.
Another Christmas show.
There's not a lot of popular Easter songs.
No. Here comes Peter Cottontail. That's all I know. Did you bring a song, Phil?
Well, I did, actually.
Tell us about it.
Well, I will, Bruce. The song is from my band, my old band called the Parkdale Hookers. And the Parkdale Hookers were kind of a punky power pop band. We wore very nice suits and played very loud and very fast. And I came up with this idea of doing a Christmas song because I figured we'd get a lot of attention from it. And so I actually wrote this song in my shower.
Oh, cool.
I wrote the whole thing basically in my shower.
Well, that's dangerous. Did you have the bass in there?
You have the guitar in there. And,
That's dangerous. So you're willing to risk your life to write a song.
For rock and roll for her.
Really? What do you mean you wrote it? It came to your head?
Well, because I came up with the bass line, and this is the great thing about working in a band. And the great thing about working with the hookers, because they were so, we had such a great chemistry that I would come in with a super simple idea. Mm-hmm. And the idea I came in with was the bass line, which is like doo 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 doo. And that's what I came up with. Mm-hmm. And I knew there was, and I came up with a vocal melody on top of that. And then the guitarist heard this and he put chords on top of it, which I would never come up with in a million years. Mm. And it actually sounds like it's a complicated song, but it's really, really simply, but it's just because of what Mark did. Yeah. And it actually starts off with the drummer's son adding a bit of Christmas feel to it. And the song is called Have Yourself a Parkdale Hookers Christmas Time.
That's great.
Yes, that was awesome. Have Yourself. Thank you. Okay, that was that. Have Yourself. A Parkdale Hookers Christmas Time.
That is a wicked bass line.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank
awesome.
You.
And vocals by Phil.
By me. Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah. By Phil.
Sounded
excellent.
Great.
Love
yeah.
it.
And you know you'll never forget that title either.
That's true. Well, it's, you know, I think it's during this time of year we can all sort of think, you know, get our family around and have yourself a
Parkdale Hookers Christmas Time. Well, and yeah. it just shows you can never repeat anything too much in a song. No, it stayed entertaining through the whole thing.
Oh, absolutely.
Because
yeah,
the beat and the rhythm and the humor and all that was just yeah. fun. Just fun.
Yeah, great, and we got a lot of press from it, which is good.
Sure.
You know?
Amazing.
And,
yeah, it's very gutsy.
You really couldn't find anything to rhyme with time. Time rhymes with time.
Christmas time.
But this is it kind of like a trope that in punk you'll just do a lot of repetition or not necessarily?
But kind of, but I wanted to really kind of push the Christmas time,
yeah.
you know, because it is a Christmas thing. So,
right.
You know, and I didn't want to put too much effort into it because it is kind of a...
Yeah, but I think the way you throw variation into it is like you got to get the blues,
yeah.
just on the news, get some booze.
Yeah.
But it always ends with Christmas time.
Yes.
So it's cute, right?
Yeah. I like the fact is you're going to have some fun. It's Christmas time. You better call your mom. It's Christmas.
You better call your mom, yeah.
You know?
I think funny. I just love the atmosphere that it created because I think that with different kinds of Christmas songs, they just create a particular mood. So for some Christmas... You know, it's yeah. like that emotional piece. For some, it's just that joyful, you know, festive holiday time. And for some, it's just about getting together with friends and partying and just enjoying yourself. And I love that about this song. It just captured that very, very well.
It's a fun song. I'm quite happy with it.
And my favorite line is, "Me and the kiddies were going insane."
Oh, yeah.
That's good. Because that's what it is like, actually. When I go to Christmas, for the past 20 years, I've gone to my sister's in London, Ontario, and the average attendance is about 25. And there's always at least like a third to half of those are children. And now it's like grandchildren. There's always three dogs.
Yeah.
And it is. It's insane. It's just this noise and dogs running. And somebody comes to the door and all the three dogs run and barking at each other.
And they know it's Christmas.
Oh, it's just crazy. I can take about 24 hours of it. And I go home.
Well, we got a tweet in from Sharon Earhart, quoting Irving Berlin, "In your Easter bonnet with all the frills upon it, you'll be the grandest lady in the Easter parade."
Ah, right. That was from that, I think, maybe Meet Me in St. Louis. Yes. Yeah.
Thanks for that, Sharon.
That was a great musical.
Yes.
So, Bruce, you had a challenge for us about a week ago.
Yes. Well, the challenge was this. Since this is a show about songwriting, and all three of us hosts are songwriters, well, actually including our Janice is a very talented songwriter. She's our social media lady. And so I put out the challenge for everybody just to write a 60-second song for this Christmas holiday / Kwanzaa / how many slashes are there?
Too many. Yeah.
It's so, you know, when you're in a multicultural atmosphere, everything takes longer.
That's true.
You know, you have to list them up.
Happy everything.
But it's worth it. Yes. It's like democracy. You know, it takes longer, but it's worth it.
It's worth it, sure.
Yeah. So did you write one? Yeah.
I did manage to write one.
Great.
You want to hear yours first? Or?
Oh, let's hear yours.
You want to hear mine first?
Yeah.
Okay, we can
wrote
do mine first.
60-second
I actually managed to get it done in 52 seconds.
Wow.
And
that's efficiency.
Yeah, it is extraordinarily efficient, but it's got, well, I'll let you guys hear it. Yeah. But we got some lyric sheets for you here.
Cause, oh, thank you.
All right.
We actually, the guys haven't heard this song yet.
Lyric sheet right here.
I started with a title. And I started with a lyric because that's I knew in order for me to get this done fast, I needed to start with a lyric.
Oh, okay.
Because the music part was, well, it wasn't actually easy, but it was relatively easy. This is my attempt at doing hip hop. I don't listen to hip hop. I don't like hip hop. But I thought if I'm going to do a song fast, I better just rap it and do a hip hop. So why not?
Great. Wow. This will be interesting.
Blissless Christmas, why all the sadness? Don't have a reason for bling in the season. Blissless Christmas, Yuletide forgiveness. Feed all the children, Canadian and Syrian. Blissless Christmas, consumerism hits us. After Hallows Eve, the pockets, they bleed. Blissness, hugs and kisses under the mistletoe, reindeer sleigh, go!
Oh, that's it.
That's it. 52 seconds.
Wow.
That was pretty cool.
That was cool. I was just saying when we were listening there, it sounds like Eminem.
Yeah.
You're just going to wipe him off the mat.
I'd love to.
I think he needs to watch out. Yeah.
I think it's a little less angry than
he's a little angry, but that was nice because you've got the season, the sadness and the happiness, and you've got the immigration issue with the Canadians and the Syrians and everything.
You got a lot out of four verses.
Yeah, and consumerism too.
Yeah, I thought Blissless Christmas, consumerism hits us is really cool.
That was your best rhyme.
For sure. Oh, yeah, cool. Thank you.
Consumerism hits us. And then there's the Halloween Christmas thing from, you know, from Jim Burton. Well,
segue. There's the connection.
Oh, is that where you got the idea?
No. It was just coincidence.
But after Hallows
Eve. Actually, it might have been. That might have been a subconscious thing because I'd already selected the Danny Elfman song.
I think it was.
So I thought, well, why not? Because, I mean, that's kind of when consumerism starts. As soon as Halloween ends.
Right.
How the decorations come out in the stores and everyone's gearing up to.
And a happy ending under the mistletoe, the hugs and kisses and the reindeer sleigh go.
I mean, you could actually just make this into a real song, like a real full song.
It's not a real song.
No, you could extend it.
Yeah.
Because it was almost over too fast. Because it was kind of getting into it.
I was entertained.
That was it.
I wanted to hear when reindeer sleigh go. I wanted to hear the reindeer go. Yeah. And then do.
Do they make that noise?
They do now.
Oh, maybe that's a cat. What do a reindeer go?
I don't know.
That sounds
kind of
like
weird
a bird.
They talk, actually, in the movies I've
yes,
seen. They talk. They
if,
say,
if they have bright, shiny red noses.
I think we need to cut off Bruce's mic now.
enough eggnog and rum with you, for you.
Yeah, it's yours.
Oh, we have a Merry Christmas Song Talk Radio shout out from Santa Claus Christmas.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow.
Well,
thank you,
Santa.
Mm. Wow.
I hope you got
my list.
Stream into the North Pole. You got my list.
Right. I think we got some other
I think
tunes.
You should extend that song, though, seriously, because I think it would be really interesting to go into another. Yeah. What I'm saying is I'm giving you a compliment because it was so entertaining. I wanted more.
Okay,
and you talk about that whole thing of you know, like you've got a listener hooked in.
Yeah.
Do you give them a lot or just enough so they're just wanting a little bit more and then you end the tune, right?
Right.
But,
it's a tease, is it?
That was...
Yeah. That's why I kind of I felt like it was a little bit, like lyrically, it was a little unfocused because I'm kind of like all over the map with the...
Didn't mind that.
I don't know.
It was Christmas Interruptus as well.
Yeah, Christmas Interruptus.
At the end, it's short.
I still don't know if blissless is actually a word, but hey.
Oh, it doesn't blissless. Matter.
It's hip-hop.
Yeah,
you're allowed
yeah,
to
yeah,
do
no,
that.
I think it is actually exactly. Blissless. I mean, it's actually a very poetic.
Because Microsoft Word underlined it.
Yeah.
They're so limited, aren't they?
Like you
aren't
said, they? It's hip-hop. You're creating your own vocab.
What did you think, Jess?
Oh, I love that. I thought it was so much fun. And moreover, I was just very surprised because I've never heard rapping by Neo Modi.
Neither have I.
Well, wasn't that our last challenge at the last Songwriters Roundtable is write something against style?
Against your own style.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, I tried to make this a hip hop song. I don't think I really succeeded. I don't think it really. Does it sound like a hip hop song?
Yeah,
no.
It sounds like rap.
It has elements to
it's
it. Definitely.
Rap,
elements
yeah.
of it. Yeah.
Well, again, I mean, rap is a huge. That's like saying jazz.
Well, it's so diverse.
Huge,
yeah,
diverse.
Yeah.
You know.
So I don't know. I just found that it ended up sounding like me.
Yeah, and that's good. You know,
it sounded like M&M's.
M&M's.
Maybe I'll go with Reese's Pieces. I'll be my
okay.
Here's a Christmas song fact. You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch. It was written in 1966, and written by Thurl Ravenscroft.
Wow.
Which song is this?
You're
intense.
A Mean One, Mr. Grinch.
You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch.
And Ravenscroft was also the voice of Tony the Tiger.
Oh, I remember Tony the Tiger.
Great.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
What an awesome last name. I just have to...
Ravenscroft.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah.
It'd be part
like
of the...
Harry Potter crew or...
Yeah. Yeah. Or the...
Lord of the Rings.
What's that show you introduced me to? The thing with everyone's killing each other.
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones, that's the one. Yeah.
Everyone's killing each other. Think about anything.
That's sort of what the show is.
Yeah. But somehow I knew exactly what he meant.
Yeah. One where everyone's dying.
Game of Thrones.
Merry Christmas.
They're falling off turrets. They're dying in water.
There's a beheading in like
lots
of minutes.
On that note, I brought a little song. I took up the challenge here, folks. And
sweet.
This came from actually one. I read a lot of these daily meditations. And it's called I Want. And, you know, the daily meditations kind of get me on a track of thinking of something for that day. It'd be not necessarily uplifting, but something to reflect on. And so this is what I wrote this one. It's very short. It's probably like 30 seconds or something. So I wanted to set this up by telling our listeners, whether you're listening live or on podcast, that one of the things we really encourage people to do is to bring unfinished material to our songwriters group because that shows a seed of an idea, the start of an idea. And then all the feedback, rather than commenting, giving you feedback in case you might want to rewrite this finished song, mm-hmm. which some people don't, is if I'm going to be really listening for feedback to say, where would you take this song? Mm-hmm. I'm going to do it a cappella because I haven't figured out chords or anything, and it's just a few lines. And it's kind of like a little philosophy thing. But the feedback then gets me to say, well, do that in a certain key. Mm. You might try this with piano rather than guitar or ukulele or something. I don't know. So anyway, I'm going to do it live, and I'm just going to – I haven't really nailed the melody, so it's kind of just – I'll make something up here that, you know, called I Want. I may not have all I want, but I want what I have. I may not have all I want. If I had it today, I'd probably say, I don't really want it anyway. I may not have a Christmas tree, but I have friends and family. I may not have what I want, but I want what I have.
Aww.
Oh, nice.
Lovely.
Very nice.
I'm gonna cry now.
I love that.
Yeah, it's that idea that, you know, to be happy with what you have, mm-hmm. to be grateful mm-hmm. instead of grasping. And, you know, like we're taught to buy and consume and and especially at Christmas, what am I going to get for Christmas? That whole thing. What kind of gifts am I going to get?
Or stressing about what you're going to get for other people. That's the whole point of it.
Yeah.
And I think it goes back to what Neil was saying about the woman who wrote about anti-consumerism around this time, and to just kind of plant that message in people's brains as they're kind of going through that crazy Christmas holiday shopping pressure.
Well, my family and my family decided many years ago, no gifts. And it's so de-stressed.
It's so much easier.
We go and get together as 25 of us. And, you know, some of the families have their own thing before the big Christmas dinner, but you're not obliged to do it. It's just relax. Let's enjoy some food together and some laughs and be with each other. Right?
Well, and it's interesting because, I mean, that song could actually work any time of year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting. I mean, does a Christmas song actually need to mention Christmas or, you know, kind of Christmassy sort of icons and imagery? Because I love a lot of the older Christmas tunes from the Rat Pack and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a song of gratitude, then I could just take out the Christmas tree and just say, you know, I may not have a shiny new car, but I have something else that's more important to me.
It's just about wants and needs and desire and that sort of thing. Which, you're right, it could apply any time of year.
Because, you know, songs like Let It Snow actually doesn't actually mention Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, it just talks about letting it snow.
I often wondered how they deal with that in, like, Hawaii or California. Or, like,
yes.
You know, like, do they know that Christmas song at all in California?
Well, they do, actually, because...
yeah, it was probably written there.
Yeah, I've
up in the mountains, I guess.
I know people who've actually spent Christmas in Australia.
Yeah,
and apparently it's great because everyone's having a barbecue and hanging out on the beach, but they still do the Christmas.
Some images of like Santa Claus on the beach or whatever. Like it's kind of.
Yeah.
But it brings up another topic I was going to raise today from a famous song. And it's that you brought up the topic of people in California celebrating Christmas. And some of the great songs came out of I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas and all that.
It was written in Los Angeles.
But it was that thing about the verse that precedes the refrain, and how when you listen to Ella Fitzgerald and some of these older artists, they take the original song, they put the verse back on. And I just wanted to say the lyrics because I think you'll find it interesting. It goes like this, something like this. The sun is shining, the grass is green, the orange and palm trees sway. There's never been such a day in Beverly Hills, L.A. But I'm longing to be up north. No, and I'm. But it's December the 24th, and I'm longing to be up north. Dreaming of a white, which is a great song because they're not experiencing a white Christmas. Yeah. They wish there was one, right? They're missing.
Oh, wow.
Because you have to understand that Hollywood was immigrants from all kinds of parts of Europe and other parts of the U.S. Right. So you'd have people from Vermont and Michigan and Hollywood, right? And they're remembering, or New York, a Christmas that was cold
and
snowy.
When you brought in, when we did the show last year, you brought in the Joni Mitchell, The River. And it was about how she went to L.A. and kind of missed.
Yeah, missed skating on the Ottawa River or some river. Yeah, but I think it's really, what we'll do is show, we'll talk more about that, the lost verses, I call them, because what happened as the years went by, it was no longer the style to do that introductory verse.
Oh, right.
And I want to do a show, I'll bring in several examples of it, where, and they're written really beautifully because they set up the song. Maybe it's a Broadway thing, I don't know, but they set up into the refrain.
It does change, I mean, that intro really does change the feeling of that song.
Well, because, it gives a context.
Yeah, whereas before, and that's interesting because it kind of narrows the song a bit.
It does.
And I think in some ways with that intro, it's not as open for the listeners, because I think there's lots of people who, you know, when you don't hear that intro, it becomes a song about wanting to be, you know, around your family or, you know, longing for a Christmas with different people or a different situation. Whereas when you have that intro, that's really becomes really, really specific and really, you know, in some ways it kind of takes it away.
Well, so here's the thing. I'd like to research this. Maybe some of our listeners know, but it sounds like it could be from a Broadway show because, see, in a song in a Broadway show is character-driven usually and plot-driven.
Yeah.
So it would be the person's talking, he or she's talking about, we're hanging around here in Beverly Hills, you know, and then they burst into song.
Right.
And they would go into something very particular about that character. So I'll look into that, though, but it's a style.
Speaking of Broadway show, Bruce, I think with respect to your 30-second song, that's what kind of it suggested to me. It suggested a bit more of a I heard piano just because I'm a pianist, maybe, but I think just the way you developed your melody seemed kind of theater style to me.
I think it is.
This melody kind of soars a little bit. I think, and it could very well be, you know, the narrative of a character who's experiencing something around that.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, I know we're wrapping up soon, but there's a couple of holiday shout-outs to us. Cool. Sharon Earhart wishes Song Talk a Merry Christmas. Thank you, Sharon.
Thank you, Sharon.
Yes, and Heather Spratt says, Merry, Merry to the Three Wise Men.
Oh, she must be listening to some other show.
Yeah, must be some other show. I don't know any guys like that around here.
The Wise Guys.
Thank you, Heather.
The Wise Guys, right?
And Janice. And Janice, the wisest.
But you know, I listen to these old songs by the Rat Pack, and they have a lot of these ones like Winter Wonderland, which, again, are not Christmas specific, but you never hear them after the 25th. And considering that the way with global warming, we don't seem to get snow on the 25th anymore. We don't get until like the end of January.
Not here, anyway.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of a shame because you're going to be having these songs talking about snow when there's no snow on the ground. At least around
people
here.
People still do. It's okay.
I mean, it's been very warm in Toronto for you listening outside of Toronto. And people pass in the street and just say, oh, beautiful weather. As long as we don't think about global warming. Let's just not think of it. So you stay in denial about this being a, you know, an affect of something horrible happening, and you can enjoy it, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, people were out on Monday. I saw people out at an outdoor cafe in the sunshine having coffee.
It was nuts on Monday. Yeah. But I think is the band? Am I
the
hearing
band
the band?
Playing?
Band coming? Yes, yeah. I guess it's that time because that's all the time we have tonight on Song Talk Radio. It always goes fast with Bruce Neal, Phil, and of course. And Janice, and of course, on the controls, Eitan, thank you. We'd like to thank the Scope at Ryerson for putting up with us, and of course, Janice Ho for doing a whole bunch. She was actually on the show tonight and social media.
Hashtag
she
has, the hardest job.
That's right.
Because she wasn't working hard enough before. And of course, we'd like to thank you, the home listener. So subscribe to the podcast feed via iTunes or Stitcher. And please let us know what you think at feedback@songtalk.ca or at Twitter at songtalkradio. On Facebook and YouTube at Song Talk Radio. And if you listen to with your heart through your toaster. And if you're on Twitter, follow Neil at
Mondo Art.
You can follow me at Focus Creative. You can follow Janice at
Janice Ho Tweets.
And don't you dare follow Bruce.
Don't
just buy my album. Never gone.
And don't forget to stop by the website at songtalk.ca. We got a resource page there with all sorts of great hints and presents, actually.
Sign up for the newsletter.
And sign up for the newsletter.
That's great. Yeah.
And all sorts of great stuff. Bros, past shows, and find out if you can be a guest on the show. And find out more about the team. And, this is going to be our last show for 2015.
So
we want everyone to have a great new year and a safe one.
Yeah, yes. Happy holiday.
Happy holidays.
And I just love to say I love all you guys. It's been,
we love you too, it's been
a hell of a year.
Yeah, it's been great.
Thank you, Eitan, for joining us.
Yay.
Newest member.
Yes, all part of the family.
Song Talk team rocks.
The rocks.
Yeah, we're going to rock right through 2016.
And I guess we'll see you guys. We'll see you next year.
On the flip side.
Yes.
Talk to you.
Thanks, guys.
Have a great Christmas, all.
Happy holidays.